You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The recent OECD report conducting an autopsy on the economy here in Aotearoa came back with huge concerns and transformative suggestions going forward. And while some, such as the suggestion to raise the age of superannuation, have been taken on board by the leading National Party, others, like a renewable energy transition, have been poo-pooed. Current energy policy discussions in New Zealand have focused on liquid natural gas, known as LNG, which needs to be stored in special conditions. The government is moving forward with plans to spend over $1 billion on a terminal specifically designed to import LNG into the country and fund it with a tax on electricity. But buying natural gas is no simple endeavour. Along with petrol, LNG prices are spiking at the moment, and standard practice is to set up to buy a regular contracted amount, which, due to limited storage conditions, may have to be used or risk costing us even more. To understand the ins and outs of the OECD report on energy policy, we got Emeritus Professor of Economics and former Director of the Energy Centre, Basil Sharp, to sit down with us in the studio to share his concerns with LNG and his ideas on how to reform the electricity market. Before we get into talking about the OECD report, I want to get your opinion on the standing of the OECD as a whole and the report as a whole. The National Party, for instance, cited the report as one of the key reasons they wanted to move ahead with raising of the retirement age earlier than they had previously planned. At the same time, they rejected the report's findings around what we're going to talk about today, the renewable side of things and the criticisms of the LNG plans. So for you, how respectable is the OECD report? What's its standing?
I always see the OECD reports as a useful, if you like, a report card that we get every now and then. And I found their reports to be balanced and also evidence-based. I think that's really important. And bearing in mind the experience of the individuals that wrote the report in the background regarding energy, in particular regarding electricity generation throughout Europe, I think is very, very relevant to our situation here today.
All right. And what were the findings, especially as they relate to the energy policy?
For me, there are two main things. One is their recommendation that we should be encouraging, facilitating, promoting, transitioning away from our dependence on fossil fuels. I think that's critical, and I think that probably didn't go down well with the incumbent government. And the other important aspect is the reforms that need to be made to our electricity market.
Should we start with the first one? Moving away from fossil fuels. There is obviously the big policy around energy at the moment is the LNG import. Let's start with your opinions on these and how they relate to this report and the recommendations therein.
Well, my view of the LNG proposal is that it's going to further lock us in, tie us in with international markets in respect to gas. And I think the current situation is such that this is an amazing wake-up call. In fact, it's a policy gift to a government to grab it, the bull by the horns, and really, really push renewables in this country. And I think it's a step back to lock us into, there'll be long-term contracts, and you're going to lock us into LNG.
I saw in the article that you wrote for, I believe it was Newsroom, that there is this consistent need to use the energy that would be brought in by the LNG plant, as in we would contract ourselves to buy a consistent amount of gas and then always need to use that. And so it's not necessarily as obviously it would help in a year where we desperately need gas, but it would not, it would create other issues at the same time.
Yeah, I think one of the issues, obviously, is that it could crowd out investments in renewables. And so if we come dependent, and remember that this proposal is going to be funded by electricity users. And so we're going to be locked into that. And we don't have a say in that, right? So as electricity users, we'll be paying a charge, weekly charge, monthly charge, whatever that is, to finance this this development. And it's going to lock us. And then one of the other considerations, I think, as I may have mentioned this, it could crowd out investment in renewables. So now we've got this amazing backstop that we can call upon that's already been financed, and it's being financed by consumers. It could crowd out investments in renewables. And the other thing, too, is if I could just throw this in also, is I haven't seen how this is going to operate in the market, because we have got, let's say, I won't call it competitive, but reasonably competitive electricity generating market now. How is this going to fit into that market? How's it going to work?
Right. And those concerns around crowding out renewables seems like a big concern when we're talking about trying to have an energy transition or become more sustainable, as the OECD report encourages us to be. Also, in this current moment, we're experiencing a huge crisis within the fossil fuel supply line. And what are factors here around sustainability in the sense of not just greenhouse gas sustainability, but also sustainability in the market in New Zealand, right? If things get very expensive from overseas, we can't necessarily rely on that as much as we could rely on locally generated electricity here in New Zealand.
That's right. That's right. And so we become dependent upon overseas sources of basically fossil fuels, gas. There is some light apparently occurring around local developments to shore up get local gas supplies. But of course, those are local, whereas if we're importing LNG, then we're going to be locked into contracts, that's for sure.
And the second point that you had,
About reforms to the electricity market?
Yes.
Yeah, I think one of the issues that really needs to be seriously considered is the vertical integration of the generators and the retail market. I don't have a solution to that, but I think that's really worthwhile taking a close look at that and perhaps opening up some competition there. And so that's one thing. The other thing I think also that we could consider is a capacity market. So rather than having an energy-only market where generators get paid according to what they supply to the market, maybe there's some opportunities there for a capacity market where a large generator who's got access to hydro, maybe, that could act as a battery, could contract with the network and say, look, you know, we're prepared to supply this backup just in case we run into problems.
So the idea that the amount of energy that you could supply is itself a valuable asset rather than just the energy that is being supplied.
Yeah, so it's a product, if you like, in the capacity market. That would be a product that would be put into the market. They're usually relatively short term. Maybe 2 or 3 years, at the most 5 years, because you have to actually predict going forward in terms of the capacity that might be needed should we run into a dry year.
Yes, a lot of this, the conversation around this and the justification for the LNG plant especially is that idea of a dry year, a year in which our dams don't necessarily produce as much electricity or perhaps some other way we're running into energy problems. So the solution for you would be that capacity market, in a sense, or that might be one of the solutions?
That could be a product that a generator could put into the market, into the mix there. But I think at the same time, we should be encouraging our renewables. So, you know, geothermal, currently around 20%. Wind, there's a huge capacity for wind generation in New Zealand. We haven't even started offshore wind in New Zealand, and apparently, and I don't know the details, but apparently the consenting process and the law, the legal framework around offshore wind development in New Zealand apparently is lagging behind the game. So those sorts of things are really important. If governments can anticipate the demand by providing the regulatory framework so that these investors can then proceed relatively quickly into developing according to these opportunities.
And so much of the renewable electricity system to make it reliable in the long term, there's this element of the need for storing this power somehow. Or alternatively, you know, maybe it's just we use hydro at night and we use solar during the day, or, you know, the days when the wind doesn't blow. Have you thought of any or know of any interesting policy ideas around battery power at all? Or anything like that?
Oh, hydro batteries. Well, Lake Onslow's back on the table again, apparently, which is a pumped storage facility. I think it might be Meridian that's put this back on the table as a possibility. That was knocked off the table by the current government, who opted for this LNG terminal. So, you know, if there's a commercial opportunity for stored hydro, it'll happen.
For the Lake Onslow scheme, how does this work? Is it just a normal dam with that collects water from a watershed, or is it something else?
So Lake Onslow, the idea here is to use the electricity off-peak, or when electricity is relatively cheap, to pump water up into Lake Onslow, fill it up or whatever, store it up there, and then release it when needed into the market.
So when the sun's shining but everyone's at work and they're not using that much electricity, and then they all, you know, that's when the water gets pumped up the hill, and then when they all come down home and turn the kettle on and switch the TV on when they get home, then that water can be released and generates electricity.
Yeah, that's the basic idea. So it could be morning. So we've got two peaks, one in the morning, one at night, and so you could release water at those particular times. And I'm not advocating that as an alternative, but that's actually how it would work. I guess one would have to look at the economics of it.
This is an idea for a policy. This isn't there infrastructure in place for this already, or is there already infrastructure in place for something like this?
The site, as I understand it, exists, but you'd obviously have to build the pipes and the pumps and all that sort of stuff. So it'd be a massive investment. But again, you know, you look at that as a long-term investment that's based upon a renewable source versus an LNG facility that is based upon a finite supply of gas, which is going to come from overseas.
Right, it's here in New Zealand, and it's reliant upon the resources that we have and can control here.
Yeah, and I think the other thing too is what's really important, I believe, is building redundancy into your supply system. So you use the example of the sun's not shining, the wind's not blowing. Well, if you've got redundancy in your system, then you've got this backup that you can call upon.
Right, and that comes into the idea of the capacity that you're talking about, that in a sense, you know, if you have this capacity to generate electricity, that's in a sense a redundancy.
That's a redundancy. And I think going forward, you know, New Zealand used to be a low-cost electricity country, but now it's not, no longer. I don't know where we sit in the OECD, I can't remember that number, but we are relatively expensive in New Zealand. And we're faced with some big changes in patterns of demand going forward. So data storage centres, for example, that are being proposed, they are massive consumers of electricity.
Yeah.
Decarbonising, transitioning away from fossil fuel cars into EVs and so on, you know?
Yeah, just more about this idea of electricity production going forward in this country. People have said that we need to vastly increase the amount of energy that we produce. What are the really big barriers here?
I think the regulatory barriers, consenting barriers. You know, if there's an opportunity for a return on investment, I mean, I believe that will happen, and businesses, generators, whatever, will get in there and start producing electricity.
How much stake do you put in that Australian model of widespread solar adoption and then selling that back into the economy through just normal everyday retail consumers?
Love solar. It's totally undeveloped in New Zealand. Mm. New Zealand has this aversion to subsidies, and that goes right back to the pre-1980s when everything was subsidised in the economy. Not everything, but lots of things. And so the reforms in the 80s, we now have it hardwired into our way we're thinking that subsidies are a bad thing. And so the subsidies that you see in Australia, the subsidies that you see in the US for solar, I don't think there's an appetite for that in this country.
Yeah.
But if the price of electricity keeps on going up and there are incentives to invest in panels and so on, yeah. I read the other day that, I can't remember which bank it was offering 1% loans for solar installation.
Right.
You know, and yeah. so highly priced electricity, 1% loan, you might get your money back in, you know, 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Good deal.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Professor Basil Sharp.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Emeritus Professor of Economics and former Director of the Energy Centre, Basil Sharp, on his concerns with LNG.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.